All right, back here on Cody and Gold, and coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get right back into the Royals. We'll take your calls as well and how confident you are that this series gets extended and this series shifts back to the Bronx on Saturday night. But let's talk a little fantasy football. Week 6 already of the NFL slate. Of course, that means it's time to check in with our guy Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. I know you're feeling good up in Minnesota on the football side of things with the 5-0 Vikings. We're 5-0 here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So just like we all predicted, I think you said that before the season, Charch, that both the Vikings and Chiefs would be 5-0.
Yeah, and the only teams. Yes, absolutely. Who didn't see it coming? It's so obvious now, right?
We're used to it here, Charge. It's not even, it's like an old hat.
I know.
Like, oh, you know, okay.
You know, I think for you, you roll into your bye and you're like, you know, our wins haven't been as convincing as we want. We got all these injuries. We don't know. You know, 5-0, it feels okay. We're rolling into our bye. 5-0, baby. Nobody saw this coming. Oh, God, this is the greatest thing ever. Sam Darnold, MVP, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of excitement here. We never get found money. You guys do. Although I think your team is coming up its best win of the season.
100%.
Heading into the bye. And the Vikings are coming off their worst win of the season heading into their bye.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. We know the Chiefs just played the Saints, and in that game, Derek Carr suffered an oblique injury. What, Spencer Rattler's going to be the guy, it sounds like, for a little bit. What does that mean for a Chris Olave owner or a Rashid Shaheed owner?
Yeah, rookie Spencer Rattler gets his first NFL start. He's viewed as a promising long-term raw prospect. You'll remember, Rattler was the most coveted high school quarterback coming out of Arizona. Then he went to Oklahoma. He was there as the starter for a while, got benched for Caleb Williams eventually. Then he went to South Carolina, where the supporting cast was awful, including one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. When I was trying to evaluate Spencer Rattler in coming into the draft, I'm like, I can't find a play where he just gets a clean pocket to throw from. And I thought he played, honestly, gallantly at South Carolina. And he's got an NFL-caliber arm. And I think it's, you know, I'm actually kind of excited about Spencer Rattler getting a couple of starts here and seeing what he can do with some potential long completions, maybe to Rashid Shaheed, because he does have a good downfield arm. But does it all come together at the beginning of the, you know, like first NFL start? Probably not. Chris Olave, not exactly phased out of this offense, but Rashid Shaheed has more targets, more receiving yards, more touchdowns, deeper passes. So I don't know that I'm starting Chris Olave with Spencer Rattler's first starts, but I think I'm going to keep going with Rashid Shaheed and see if they can connect on some deep balls here against a Tampa team that's really struggled.
Charge, sometimes you're not wrong in fantasy. I'm not wrong in fantasy. We're just a year ahead. You and I were both big Tank Bigsby guys at the beginning of 2023.
Yes.
Is that chip finally starting to pay off a year and a half later?
Oh, it is. And for everybody who said that we were morons, well, you're right, technically.
Yeah, we were wrong.
And we were just early, right? So, I mean, First, Tank Bigsby is a better runner, objectively, than Travis Etienne, and he should be getting more work with the Jaguars. Tank Bigsby runs with power, runs with speed, punishes defenders. When I watch Tank Bigsby run, I get so excited I start involuntarily lactating. I love this kid. His ranks among players, all NFL players that have at least his 34 carries, here's where Tank Bigsby ranks. Some stat porn for you. Yards per carry, Tank Bigsby, number one. Avoided tackle rate, Tank Bigsby, number one. Yards after contact, Tank Bigsby, number one. Rushing yards over expectation per carry, Tank Bigsby, number one. And here's where it gets interesting, guys. A lot of times it takes a long time for younger players to start getting reps because of the nuances of the position, like pass protection. Entering this week, Travis Etienne had the second worst pass protection grade by Pro Football Focus among all runners. So Etienne is not a lock to stay on the field. Tank Bigsby might be a better pass blocker. He hasn't fumbled this year, which was a big problem for him last year. You know, losing teams with losing coaches, they make more moves more quickly. Tank Bigsby could be on the move to the starting spot among the Jaguars runners.
Look, the theme continues on the year. If you had Rashee Rice, you screwed. You had other number one wide receivers. You had Devontae Adams. You can't play him. Now Nico Collins, the NFL's leading wide receiver, is out. if you had Tank Dell and you've been holding out hope that he was going to turn his season around, is now the moment, right? C.J. Stroud will certainly throw it. Can Tank Dell be a starting player all of a sudden?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we certainly hope that that's going to be the case. Tank Dell, the idea is for Tank Dell to sort of walk into some of those opportunities, because Nico Collins, I don't think people realize.
Monster.
The dude was having an unbelievable season. It was, you know, like offensive player of the year level stuff. Nico leaves behind the fourth most targets, the fourth most air yards, and he was second in end zone targets. He ranked fifth in Fantasy Life's wide receiver utilization scoring system. This whole offense was going through Nico Collins. And Dell, on the other side of that, had been languishing from a lack of targets. Well, that's all going to change, because we're freeing up 11 targets per game. 11. Dell's going to get, out of the 11, Tank Dell's going to get 3, 4, 5 of those every game. That would turn Tank Dell into a 9 or 10 target guy per game, and that's it's game on then. I mean, at that point, you know, Tank Dell becomes absolutely startable. Patriots secondary isn't half bad, but just through sheer repetition and volume, I like Tank Dell to continue doing well here.
We're talking to our fantasy football expert, Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Thursday night football, this one up in Seattle. Niners, Seahawks, and look, as a Christian McCaffrey owner, obviously this is painful for me, but Jordan Mason, I mean, this dude has been incredible.
Yeah, he really has. Alex, San Francisco's running back has been, I think, nothing short of a revelation. On the ground, really no drop-off from Christian McCaffrey. He's averaging almost the exact same yards per carry that Christian McCaffrey was giving you last year, 5.1 yards per carry. But where Mason is very different, or where Christian McCaffrey is like Hall of Fame bound, was his receiving ability. McCaffrey was averaging 5 catches for 40 yards per game, which is a ton. And that was a massive boon to fantasy managers. But Mason, just 1 catch for 11 yards. Tonight, Seattle, this is a run defense that has been hammered in 3 of the past 4 games. Tyrone Tracy just ran for 129 yards. We didn't even know who he was a week ago. Week before that, the Detroit 1-2 punch ran for 128 yards. And 2 weeks before that, New England's backs totaled 178 yards on the ground. So this feels like a big Jordan Mason game coming tonight.
Despite the fact they haven't scored a lot, in standard scoring leagues, Justin Fields has been a top 10 play, Charge. Do you just like try to squeeze one more start out of him before they go to Russell Wilson? Do you hope they keep starting him? How do you handle him from a fantasy perspective? Because he's been better than other people at some day. Hell, he's been more statistically fantasy relevant than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are more statistically relevant than Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's right now, and I think you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. If we go back to week 8 of last year, through the whatever now it is, like 14 regular season games that have transpired, Patrick Mahomes, his average is quarterback 16. And that's not what we're here for with Patrick Mahomes. No. I mean, you know, there's 12 teams in my league, so why am I automatically starting Patrick Mahomes every week? And even last week, when he played a great game. 300 yards, but no touchdowns. We're just not getting the explosive output. And I know we've touched on this before. And to get more directly to your conversation about Justin Fields, I'm actually pretty interested in this. You know, the fantasy community loves Justin Fields because his rushing gives us some explosive fantasy games. It happened 2 weeks ago when he ran in 2 touchdowns. But the problem is Justin Fields is just not a great passer. He's not giving games away, but here, let me give you some stats on Fields. Among quarterbacks with 5 starts that have played every game so far this year, Fields ranks 4th from last in passing yards, 5th from last in passing touchdowns, and 8th from last in distance of throws. It's just, he's just not getting it done, and it's killing his receivers. George Pickens is wide receiver 54, and he's the highest scoring of his wide receivers. Van Jefferson is I'm still waiting on Van Jefferson's actual final tallies here. I had to divert the processing power of the Higgs boson particle accelerator to calculate the infinitely small fantasy impact of Van Jefferson.
And I forgot he was having on going. That team.
That's your other starter, Van Jefferson. So, you know, I think there is going to be a case here where the other shoe drops and Russell Wilson ends up being the starter because Fields is not helping the rest of this team.
Look, there's been some surprise guys. There always are, right? Like Baker at the top. Yeah. But for a while, it was Geno Smith. He's still near the top, but over the last couple of weeks, not so much. What do you do with Geno Smith, especially because division rivals don't tend to be games I like starting fantasy players in?
Yeah, you know, despite all the success Geno's had in these last 2 years, including winning Comeback Player of the Year a couple of years ago, the Niners have completely obliterated him since starting for Seattle. Since in the three games he's played against San Francisco, Geno's averaged 205 yards, and he's thrown one touchdown in those three games. And as usual, the San Francisco pass defense is pretty darn good. Three opposing quarterbacks failed to even top 195 yards against San Francisco. Only Sam Darnold has topped one passing touchdown against the 49ers. So I've got modest expectations for Geno Smith here. I'd certainly keep starting DK Metcalf. You kind of have to, but you know, San Francisco's got an unusually physical, large cornerback in Isaac Yadam. And that dude's like 6'2", 230 pounds. I mean, it's like no cornerback is ever this big. So this might be a sneaky, tricky matchup for DK Metcalf, but I feel like he's the one guy you still have to start every week.
So does that mean, you know, I mean, other than Kenneth, not a wide receiver, but Kenneth Walker, I mean, he's been underlooked all season, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Underlooked his whole career. I love this guy. He runs so well. You know, he's played in three games this year. First game, 103 yards and a touchdown. His second game, he scored three touchdowns. And then last week, playing against the Giants, they bottled him up early, and offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb just pivoted him to a receiving role, threw to him eight times. He had seven catches for 57 yards. That is the action of a coach, Ryan Grubb, who wants to make sure that his best offensive playmaker gets the ball. And I love that about Kenneth Walker. And among players with his 37 rushing attempts, Kenneth Walker's number one in broken tackle rate. He is good. He's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. And the San Francisco run defense is totally middle of the pack. If Seattle is going to win, it's going to be on the legs of Kenneth Walker tonight.
Charge, last one for me, and then we'll let you get out of here. Ladd McConkey, this is selfish reasons. I like to ask you selfish questions.
That's fine.
I got him in a PPR league. I've been using him kind of here and there. What do you see about his fantasy growth through the rest of the season?
Well, okay, but for the whole season, I want him to see him become the number one that I believe he is. I think he's should be the number one receiver for that team, not Quentin Johnston, who to me feels more like a possession guy, a big body guy you can throw to when you need to at the stripe, more like that. Ladd McConkey's got the full range skill set that I want to see him, and it's still young in his career. I'm not knocking his progress at all. It's actually been, I think, pretty good. The catch for this week on Ladd McConkey and all the Chargers. Where's Patrick Surtain going to be? Because he's so good. And he is obliterating anybody in his coverage. And if I'm the Broncos and I'm going to play man, and I'm going to put Patrick Surtain on one person, it would be Ladd McConkey, and I'd take my chance of Quentin Johnson dropping all the balls that come his way, which to this point of his career is a pretty safe bet.
Charge, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk some fantasy next week. And, hey, you know what? Enjoy the bye week. Couple of 5-0 teams living their best life.
Not all bad, right? And not only that, but you don't have the distraction of football while your baseball team is making a World Series run.
Yeah, no, just got to beat the Yankees. Got to beat the Yankees and the umpires tonight. You know, a dual task it is.
Everybody hates the Yankees. They're the worst. Just buying. All they do is buy playoff appearances and then come up short. Please take down the Yankees. They suck.
Going to do our best. Thanks, Charge.
Bye, guys.
Paul Charge.
Got a great point. The Yankees do suck.
Leagues.com, presented by Twin Peaks. Eats Trick Scenic Views.
I saw the look of your face when I said and beat the umpires.
Small market fans can unite on that point he made. But yes, when you said the Yankees and the Umps, I did give you a dirty look. I was like, okay, we do.
You think I'm giving the show a bad reputation?
No, I mean, you say whatever you want, man. We all have our opinions. We've just differ on. I just don't like the blame game on that stuff. I'm not saying it's like a non, like there's no truth to anything about the strike zone being off. Of course, it's been off. I just think there's a lot of other issues.
It has favored one team in particular.
We're gonna get to the snitch line here in just a couple of minutes. Real quick though. Where's everybody's confidence at for tonight's game? Game four, trying to force a game five. 72% of teams who win game three, the Yankees, of course, did that, go on to win the series. You might still think the Yankees are winning the series, but do you think the Royals get this thing back? to the Bronx. And I keep going back. It sounds like Vern's a little more skeptical than I am when we had him on. But I look at Garrett Cole on Saturday, and I felt like the Royals were seeing him well. I thought the Royals took an aggressive approach right away in that first inning. And that gives me a little bit of confidence that they saw him well. I also think because it's do or die, Urseg might be pitching guys in the fifth and sixth inning. He could be pitching the sixth and seventh inning. I just think they're all in, of course, tonight. You got nothing to lose. This is it, potentially. So I feel good. I don't. The Royals have not been getting demolished by the Yankees. They lost a game by a freaking run yesterday.
Well, and Luke Weaver had to come in for a 5-out save yesterday, and it was a bit rocky. So they got to go back to him again. Is he the same guy that he was the game before? And as much as we have been frustrated by the Royals' offense, which I think is fair, and I think some of that is bled back into when they were really struggling on offense towards the end of September, they've scored just as many runs in this series as the Yankees.
That's true.
So it's not like the Yankees' offense is taken off on some torrid pace. The Royals have been more efficient with runners in scoring position. The Yankees have been less efficient. The Yankees have been better at taking walks. That's been the difference between their two wins versus the wins on the other side. But this has not been a one-sided series at any particular point. So my confidence of them bringing it back to New York, 70%. And maybe I'm over. I mean, I can't say 100%. That's not how baseball works. But I'm with you on the Garrett Cole end. I think this has been a really even series. Dead heat, pretty much, if I'm being honest. And if I think it's a dead heat to this point, I think it'll be a dead heat after tonight. And we'll be talking about a 2-2 series heading back to New York.
All the pressure's back on them.
For Game 5, and you and I are going to have to go find a place to watch the game on Saturday.
I would love for that to be the case,
man. For an incredibly stressful Saturday night. That's just how I feel like it's going to go, but you know, tonight will tell the truth. My feelings don't matter in this case. It'll be whether or not the Royals get it done.
It would be incredible if you can get it back to New York. And then all of a sudden, the New York pressure is back on big time.
Oh, huge. That's own building.
That's the advantage you would have if you get it back there. I still think, I don't know how many times I've mentioned these numbers today on the show, but you know, I still find it hard to believe we could be talking tomorrow about it going to New York without something changing for Witt, Pasquantino, or Perez.
Agreed.
4-37, man. 4-37. I'm not saying they got to go 3-4 tonight. I'm saying one or two of those guys has to have the hit. The hit. Bobby Witt Jr. has shown he can do it in the playoffs. I understand right now everybody's frustrated. I'm sure very frustrated with his performance. Offensively, he's been great in the field. But against Baltimore, guess who came up with a game-winning RBI? Bobby Witt Jr. So like this notion that he can't deliver in the postseason, I call BS on that.
He's played in 5 postseason games and he's delivered the game-winning hit in 2 of them.
But it's going to take him or Salvi or Vinny delivering tonight. I think it will. We can talk how great the pitching can be tonight, but I think it will take one of those guys delivering. We'll talk more about this. Plus, you are going to have your song
because yesterday
you forgot to do
birthday.
It yesterday. We said you could do it yesterday.
I forgot,
might have been a problem. Today will happen right around 140, 145, something like that. But let's get to a snitch line Thursday. We do that once a month or so. 913-586-7965. We know we have a lot of new listeners, right? We had a meeting about this. Trust me, I know there's a lot of new listeners out there. We appreciate you very, very much here on 96.5 The Fan. Snitch line, it's a chance for you to anonymously vent. Get something off your chest, something you maybe have done in
co-worker,
your life.
Sibling,
something
yourselves.
Something you witnessed a coworker do. Something you saw someone do at Kauffman Stadium last night. Whatever it may be, now is the time. I'm going to scroll back because some of you sent some ones in earlier.
Yeah, one person was accusing you of dealing drugs, Drew. Have you ever dealt drugs?
No.
Have you ever done drugs?
No.
At all? Ever? No drugs?
I mean, if we're talking like prescribed drugs, then
I'm talking about, Drew, maybe you took it
you took an amoxicillin once. I'm just saying.
Have you ever eaten an edible?
Yes.
Okay. Have you done any drug beyond that?
No. To me, an edible, I don't think it does. Does it count as a? Does it count?
I don't think it's legal in the state of Missouri.
I don't think it counts.
Probably depends on the person you ask. From the 913 snitch line, Cody pushed my 1-year-old daughter down for a chance at a ball last night. You were sitting next to me the whole game. I didn't push anyone down. You left for maybe 10 minutes once to get a drink and like some peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
I did not push anybody down in that amount of time. How often were you sitting next to me in the game? Confirm the story. Say that I didn't do that.
I was not there for those. I do not recall.
Those 10 minutes?
I do not recall.
You watched me for 10 minutes?
I don't recall.
We sat next to each other for a 3-hour baseball game.
Someone says, Cody, another one for you, Cody. Cody Tapp's Venmo paid my OnlyFans account for feet pictures.
So it's not true. Again,
you're into that kind of thing? Hey,
not
man, we don't. What do we say on the show? What's our philosophy?
We do not kink shame on the show.
We do not. We do not.
Which is why, if it's your thing, go for it. It doesn't happen to be my thing, but if it's your thing, that's fine.
Here's one. This one is for me. They said Gold. Sources tell me he was offering tickets yesterday for a more expensive price than the actual seats were on StubHub in the same section,
wow.
Same row. Not true.
Wow.
No. Not true.
Listeners?
Not true.
You're trying to rip off
listeners of this station?
Oh, my God.
Not true.
That's wrong.
Not true. Others can attest, and also someone ended up buying the tickets. No, the... StubHub, I had a pair of tickets listed on StubHub in the outfield. They were listed for a certain price. I said with fees, they were $390, which is that's what they were. I ended up saying, hey, let's go off StubHub. I will sell to you direct. No fees. Save us both money. I ended up selling them, by the way. Thank you very much.
What, are you supposed to like pat you on the back for getting your ticket sold?
No, but like, I was responding to the accusation.
You ripped someone off what he just said.
No.
You successfully ripped someone off by selling it for more than you were asking.
That's not possible. How would I sell it for more than I'm asking? I literally asked for the dollar, man. That's what I got.
Here's a question. Did you
make
more money not selling them on the secondary side? Should you have given them an even bigger haircut? Did you make more money by putting...
Well, that's up for interpretation.
No,
you're saying, did I sell them for more than face value?
No, yeah, no, that's not more than face. I meant like more than you would have gotten had you sold them on the secondary.
Oh, no, that's not true. No. That part's not true.
Okay. Sounded like you confirmed that for just a second.
Someone said, from the 6-2 of Cody's actually a Bengals fan. Welcome to the club, Cody.
No, I'm not a Bengals fan.
There is that one clip of me saying, I hope the Bengals win or something, but I don't remember where that clip is.
I don't know where it is either. I should have clipped it,
from the 816, my buddy lied to his wife saying that he had to go to work late and do overtime. And he just went to the baseball game instead.
Ooh.
Man, risky.
Well, I mean,
jumbotrons, television screens. You can't drink and pretend like you worked overtime. All very risky behavior. Very risky behavior.
Yeah, someone else said they know Drew uses the Facebook Marketplace. That's where Drew sold his couch. Got scammed, unfortunately. Someone says Marketplace. Drew is selling bottled tears to make money. Collected, I'm assuming, by thinking about Cincinnati's playoff chances.
So in the same way that you guys are collecting Super Bowl confetti, I'm collecting tears.
Tears.
You have your tears, we got our Super Bowl confetti.
For the Cody Gold Garage Show, we sell Drew's one tear. Jar full of
we
Drew's
actually
tears.
Should sell a jar of Drew's Bengals tears.
Just put an onion under your eyes for...
Yeah, Drew's Bengals tears.
Or maybe you're a big crier, I don't know. Do you cry a lot, Drew?
No.
Everyone's, like, again, no judgment on that. I'm just, you know, some people cry more than others. When's the last time you had a good cry, Alex?
A good cry.
I had it probably 3 months ago.
Oh, that's a very specific time.
Dog passed away.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very
that'll get you right in the gut.
That one was tough, really
that'll
tough.
Get you right in the gut.
Yeah, I dread that day. I definitely dread that day with the dog. No, I don't. I honestly couldn't tell you the last. Obviously, I have. I just there's not one instance that comes to mind here recently. Probably honestly watching a movie or something like. There's probably some movie or TV show. I'm trying to think. That'd probably be the last time.
From the 913, I swapped out an autographed Mahomes football in my boss's office for a non-autographed one. It's been over 6 months. He hasn't noticed. I'm thinking I'm in the clear. He doesn't have any cameras in his office, right?
You forged a Bobby Witt autograph?
I did not forge a Bobby. That's a lie again. What do they think I accomplished in the 10 minutes you were gone?
And you sold
someone said I punched
bucks?
Their grandma in the stomach. I sold a Bobby Witt Jr. bit. None of those things are true. I can't forge Bobby's signature. It's too messy.
Someone said, how much for a bottle of those tears? I don't know. I feel like that's got to be like a $50 item.
Yeah, I agree. You got to raise money for the museum.
One person was asking about the Bobby Wood Jr. signed shoes from our auction. I'm just saying.
Got a good deal on those.
I'm just saying that those are, it was for charity too. I'm just saying that pair of shoes that are his shoes signed by him would cost a few more bucks than they did a year ago.
Now, prize, if they were game prize, worn, those they
are,
might be worth
it. Those are a prize possession, much like the Mahomes helmet. Those are not going anywhere. Those are never being sold again.
Somebody said, from the 913, I once lied about being sick so I can have time to myself. Good for you.
Huh?
Take a personal day, you know?
Okay. That's a snitched line Thursday. here on Cody and Gold. Thank you. 913-586-7965. Up next, we will get to what's trending and some of our final thoughts on how things are going down at Kauffman Stadium tonight. Don't forget, we have our t-shirt drop coming up 2 o'clock today here at 7000 Squib Rub. Your chance to get some of those playoff theme shirts. And yes, Cody's going to sing a
free
Vinny Pasquantino song live next.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, we start with the Royals. Game 4 tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. Michael Wacha against Gerrit Cole. First pitch, 7:08, right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5. The Fan. Vern's On Deck show is at 6. The Drive, C.Dot and Rob, broadcasting outside Gate D. Beginning at 2 o'clock. They are set up out there. Good to go today. Stop by, say hello to them. They'll be broadcasting up until 6.
We'll have the shirts for free at 2 o'clock.
Here.
The playoff-themed t-shirts right here at 7000 Squib Road. First 100 people who come and snag them, we'll get a chance at them. Don't rush. We have, you know, 100 of them or so.
Cody has offered to roll them up and throw them right into your car window.
Cody Gold t-shirt cannon. Coming to a future near you. Yeah, make sure you stay out there. See Carrington outside of Gate D. Say what's up to us if you see us out there in the right field area as well. Next up on What's Trending, speaking of baseball, there's other baseball in action. The Tigers will have a chance to advance against the Guardians today, coming up in about 4 hours from now. They were able to win the game last night. We'll have a chance to clinch it. The Dodgers forced a game 5 last night in beating the Padres 8-0. That game was incredibly lopsided. And the Mets advanced to the LCS. The NLCS, at least on that end, after their win. So they're the first team to secure their spot. Dodgers force a game 5. Obviously, we're hoping the Royals force a game 5 tonight.
Well, stick with the baseball theme. Some news up in Minnesota. We know the Twins, of course, did not make the postseason this year. And now ownership has announced the Twins are for sale. This after denying that about a year ago that they were going to pursue selling the team. The Pollad family has owned the franchise since 1984. They bought it for $44 million back then.
It's now worth
$1.5 billion, they believe, is the valuation. They put out a long statement, obviously, talking about considering this. But during their ownership, Twins won the World Series in 87 and 91, plus 10 postseason appearances. But yes, they are about to cash in.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't think the team's leaving Minneapolis. I
think they're too well liked there.
It's also
pretty nice stadium.
15 years left on the lease at a beautiful ballpark up there in Minnesota.
Yeah, also a pretty large metropolitan area. I mean, Minnesota's always supported baseball. Would make a lot of sense to move. Where would they move?
Well,
anyway?
You know, where everybody throws out. Nashville.
Yeah.
I don't think they're moving either. Nashville will get a team eventually.
Do good there, but if you're doing it, just move the Rays. Their whole stadium just got ripped apart.
We'll see. We'll see what celebrity is part of a giant ownership group that buys the Twins.
Jay-Z is my guess. Next up on What's Trending, Thursday night football tonight. 49ers at Seahawks will take place. Geno Smith has really struggled against San Francisco. Brock Purdy's been playing some surprisingly good football. I'll say this, not surprisingly good. Brock Purdy has gotten better. Like, he got better from the beginning of his rookie year to the end of his rookie year, and he's been better this year than he was last year, and I think that there's been consistent improvement there. They've just been so dinged up. The reason why that might be interesting to you tonight, although you'll be watching the Royals game instead, is the 49ers are the Chiefs' next opponent.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Very true.
They'll get 10 days. So the Chiefs get a bye week, but the 49ers also get 10 days. So they're not going to get the normal advantage of time off that you would typically expect.
Lastly, on What's Trending, we're going to be out in Las Vegas in less than 2 weeks. We'll be out there when the Chiefs are taking on the Raiders, by the way. Circa Las Vegas will be broadcasting live Thursday, Friday, poolside, stadium swim, 143-foot sportsbook, 6 pools. Friday night, we're hosting a big party out there. Looking forward to it. We'll have some cocktails. We'll have a chance to win some game day tickets, a day bed. In order to join us at the party, make sure you RSVP. Send in a text, 913-586-7965. We'll send you a link to RSVP. If you're going to be out in Vegas, if you think you're there, if you know a Chiefs fan that's going to be in Vegas already, let us know. We'll send them a link as well. That RSVP gets you the free cocktail and enter to win all that. And then we're just going to have a good time in Vegas. I'm looking forward to that. Circa, seriously, it's the best place. If you're going out to Vegas anytime, you should check it out. We cannot wait to once again be out in Vegas. I was looking at the weather. Looks like me, like 85 degrees when we're out there.
Not bad. That's pretty good for poolside.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, as he mentioned, RSVP for that party. Make sure you give yourself a chance to enter a chance for that free drink, those tickets to game day, or of course that day bed out there at Circa Swim.
You're gonna chill in the day bed, the cabana, when we're out there, you know, just chill cabana poolside.
Maybe. We put our stuff on one of those day beds when we were up there a couple of
jump
weeks
in the
ago.
Pool mid show.
Maybe.
Without the headset on, don't worry.
Yeah, I won't. I'm not going to try to fry either the equipment or myself. Mm-hmm.
That would be a good
in
thing
that scenario.
For you not to do.
Smart choice.
But do I plan on being in a pool at some point in Las Vegas? Yes, I do.
Cold beverages during the show poolside. Sounds like a
11
good
o'clock. The fan club.
It is early. I was just saying, it is 8 a.m. to noon when we're out there local time. That is very true.
I think we can make it a party though.
Screwdriver.
Whole time.
Screwdriver. Oh. 9 a.m.
That's your.
That's the Vegas. That's the Vegas. It's the only time I ever drink that is in Vegas. Otherwise, I don't ever order a screwdriver.
You just wait for morning time.
It is strictly a Vegas thing.
The first drink after a long night.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's like getting juice. So it's practically healthy.
It's just orange juice. You know. It's all.
It's not just orange juice, but yeah, fair point.
I was told it's just orange juice.
Oh, I think they've been lying to you.
Oh.
You'll figure that out for yourself, you know?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
We have
are
two
you
choices.
Ready to sing?
Yeah. You know
you
what?
You want to sing now or you...
No, let's do it now. As you know, I forgot. You offered me a chance to play a song yesterday.
I
you
did.
Said I could choose any song of my choice, any royal song of my choice, and I blew it. I forgot about it. I got too excited about the game coming up at Kauffman that night, and I didn't think about it, and then the Royals lost. And so I put on the jersey that Quick Trip just sent me. Because I thought, you know what? This is good luck. They sent this to me in the mail. I didn't wear it yesterday because it got sent to me after the show. The jersey's on. It is Vinny Pasquantino's birthday. And the last time we did Pasquantino live on this show for three consecutive days, it was when Vinny had started this season slow and he needed a little pick-me-up. And as you remember, Vinny Pasquantino immediately had a four-hit day and a hell of a weekend after this happened. And because it's his birthday... And Vinny is hitless in this series. I figured if I was going to do a song live today, why wouldn't I do Pasquantino?
That's fair. I didn't know, you know, someone else's birthday today. Josh Vernier, Garrett Hampson. You know, you could. Where's the Garrett Hampson song? Huh?
I don't have a Garrett Hampson song. But if you know what, if he gets the game-winning RBI,
you have a song tomorrow. If he saves the season,
man,
if Garrett Hampson RBI double, bottom of the seventh inning, puts the Royals up 4-3.
Deal.
Garrett Hampson song tomorrow.
Garrett Hampson will get a belated birthday song.
Good.
Vern, I'm sorry. He's just going to have to enjoy my music. He won't be able. I don't have a song for him right now.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn my mic off. I'm going to let you sing, and I hope this works. I really do.
It's been a while since I sung this one live. I got to remember the words. Clear the throat. Get a call up in my direction. Thankful for that bat, it's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, Italian breakfast you always slay. Got me dreaming of wins all day. Make me want to savor every moment slowly, slowly. You hit a baseball hard, love how you pour it on. Need Vinny on the roster, just put him on. Then let me whisper in your ear the only words I want to hear. Don't take it so he can play long. Remember, this is the highlight part. This is when Vinny... Oh, Vinny, it's a three-run home run in the ALDS! I almost jumped ahead of series. When you're excited and he gets a hit and everybody's feeling good, that's what's going to happen tonight. Don't you worry about it. Pasquantino, I want it now, it's time for Pasquantino. What else can he do? He's the great Balbino. It's a jackpot at the casino. Pasquantino, think of the kids, all the little niños. It's like a shot of cappuccino. Give us what we want, it's Pasquantino. Quiero ver la tuba, quiero ser tu bad boy. Que la enseña santo ritmo, tu ubicación favorita. Dejo mi vida en tu a muchos hombrones. Hasta provocar mis gritos, tu invidona y tu nombre. Pasquantino, I want it now, it's time for Pasquantino. What else can he do? He's the great Balbino. It's a jackpot at the casino, Pasquantino. Think of the kids, all the little niños. It's like a shot of cappuccino. Give us what we want. It's Pasquantino. Pasquantino. That's it. I didn't do as good a job, but I still feel pretty good about it. The Spanish part, so hard to sing in Spanish.
What made you think you needed to do it live?
Oh, I don't know. Just felt right.
You had a studio recorded version. Why did you think you needed to do it live?
Because the Royals are going to have to play live, and I feel good
okay.
about it, you know?
Hmm.
Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not perfect.
Do you want to read the text line? Are you sure? Maybe, actually, you know what? Actually, you know what? Don't look at the text line. Don't look at the text line.
You know, text line?
Keep it close.
When he has three hits tonight, then you'll feel bad about all the mean things you're saying about
me. Don't look at the text line.
I won't look at the text line. It's fine.
Don't look.
My first two live versions of Pasquantino were better than that one. Mm-hmm. Happy to admit. Pasquantino's going to come through tonight either way.
You don't look. I'll pick a few out, though. 913-586-7. Well, for you. I don't think you
would.
I said, don't look for you.
Gotcha.
Someone says, I told you to play this yesterday. You failed to do so. You are the reason they lost, Cody. Mm. Someone else says, oh, God, why? Someone says, why aren't you dancing, Gold? Someone else says, that's so awful. Please stop. I love Gold's reaction. Someone else says, Cody's the best.
Hey!
You get so into it with your entire face.
You know what? I'm a visual. If you missed it, we do video stream this show. So if you want to go back and watch it on video, Twitter, Twitch.
Someone says this is better than the dude that won America's Got Talent.
Wow, you know, thanks, man. There's a lot of other negative ones I imagine in between there, but I'll take the mix of compliments and non-compliments.
Mm, it's definitely mixed.
Pasquantino is going to have a game tonight. Let's just face reality.
Well, look, Bobby, Vinny, South, one of them. Honestly, they don't all have to hit. One of them is going to have the big hit of the night. I just don't believe it. And that's not to say that Garrett Hampson or Tommy Pham or Michael Massey's been great this postseason, that those guys don't
really
deliver.
Well.
And you could certainly use that. I just think we've seen enough in this series that when you're on the brink of elimination, it's pretty basic stuff, right? Your stars, your best players have to perform, and they have to step up. That goes for Michael Wacha. That goes for Lucas Erceg as well. But it's the offense. You know, we can bitch and moan about walks due to umpires, or you can take a different approach at the plate, or you can, you know what I mean? Like you can adjust, or you can keep complaining. And I say complain. They're not complaining. Fans aren't. The Royals aren't complaining.
Yeah.
This to me comes down to a guy that's going to finish second in MVP, a guy that almost had 100 RBI, a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. One of them has to step up and put the team on their back. And I know that's they'll approach it. They don't approach it like, oh my gosh, I have to put all this pressure on me. I'm just saying, I find it hard to believe they win without one of those guys having a huge hit tonight. You know, Bobby doesn't have to all of a sudden go 4-for-4. Okay.
He's got to come up with a big hit.
1-for-4, but maybe it's the eighth inning and there's two men on with nobody out and he hits a double. And all of a sudden they take the lead. It's got to be something.
And especially because they're all in order together, right? Last night is close. And I know you're like, this is not like they almost got it. I just meant it was close. Bobby got on base. Salvi got a hit.
Yeah.
They had first and third. So if the guy behind them had come through with the hit, they do look like they were contributors to what was a come from behind win or helping them get the win or tying that game up late or any of those things. And Vinny damn near got a hit too. And so maybe that like glimmer into the like, yeah, there's the old, because here's the thing. The one thing all three of those guys did better than anybody, whether they were always getting on base or listening to Bobby's numbers are nuts across the board. They were good at getting runs home. You know what I need? I need Vinny to come up with a guy on third. I need Vinny to come up with a guy on second. He's a run producer. He's been coming up far too often with the bases empty. And so give him a chance to hit a run in. Give any of those guys a chance. And I personally have a hard time thinking that Vinny's going to go six consecutive games without performing for this team. And Salvi's only big hit is the now big hit because it was a home run that tied it up against Rodon. That's, you know, that's one of his two hits. Like, I think eventually they're going to find a way to produce for this team. That's why I told you I think this series is going five. I think tomorrow we'll have a different conversation. If it does, tomorrow the conversation is, and that's the thing. I don't want to have the conversation about how this is a winning season no matter what, because I'm not ready to let the season go yet. We can have that conversation when and if the Royals eventually are knocked out of this postseason, but no matter what, this season is a win. And so But to make sure that it continues to go on, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. They're big.
Sure. 40,000 plus again tonight at Kauffman. I know people are going to bring it. Let us know if you're going to be out there tailgating as well. Reminder, Carrington is broadcasting live outside of Gate D. But for the game, look, prediction-wise, I actually think a little higher scoring. 5-3, Royals win, force this thing to the Bronx. I do believe they'll get some runs on the board tonight. 5-3, Royals win, get this thing to a game five, put all the pressure back on the Yankees. Royals could be a loose bunch flying back out to the East Coast. I think they get it done tonight, and then we'll see what happens on Saturday. Reminder, at 2 o'clock as well, we will be handing out shirts here at 96.5 The Fan. We've got 100 shirts, thanks to our friends over at DM Injury Law. Some playoff-themed shirts, right? We didn't come this far just to come this far. Pretty fitting, considering the Royals are trying to avoid elimination this evening. One shirt per person in the car, maximum of two.
I felt like everybody who wasn't wearing a Royals jersey was wearing the boys are playing some ball, or we didn't come this far to come this far t-shirt yesterday. So everybody's wearing the Bobby Witt Jr. themes of things, which I get. Yeah. But if you want the t-shirt before you head out to the K tonight, this is the spot to do it. But yeah, just go get a win tonight. Come on. Just want to get the crowd into it early. Hit like a three-run bomb too, in the first and get the whole crowd into it.
Jump on Gerrit Cole right away. They saw the ball well on Saturday against him. They were aggressive. We all remember that. Well, I think it was only like four or five pitches in the first because there were lineouts, good contact.
Yeah.
Get after it tonight. Hope to see you guys at a Kauffman Stadium. Reminder, Vern's on Deck show, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, though, we do hand things off to CDOT. He is broadcasting from the K, Gate D, as the Royals take on the Yankees tonight.